Time visitor here today that's never been in the building before. The youngest visitor, I guess, we've had in a while. Stand up, darling. This is Paula Gardner's daughter. She's had a baby, PJ. Isn't he adorable? Welcome to Living Word, PJ. Hope there'll be many more visits for you, son. Congratulations. Jesus is calling you. So many people are in a desert right now. They're in a dry place. They're searching for truth, and they're searching to be filled because they're hungry and not sure what they want to be filled with. So they fill themselves with things that don't really satisfy. And they live their lives going from thing to thing or person to person trying to find what satisfies them. And there's only one thing that really quenches our thirst, and that is an experience with Jesus. It changes everything. The devil will tell us lies like God's not hearing you, God's not answering you. If God was there, why would this happen? If God was really on your side, why would this be allowed in your life? All of those are lies from the devil. See, we serve God. We should serve God unconditionally. No strings attached. Lord, you died. We just sung all the songs this morning of what Christ did for us. You died for me, Lord. You rose for my righteousness. You look at my life. When I look at myself and see all the ugliness and all the nastiness and all the rebellion and all the anger and all the darkness in my life, you don't see that, Lord. You see the hope that you gave me, yourself, in my life. This gift of salvation, this gift of redemption, this gift of deliverance is a free gift. No strings attached with that. We don't have to do anything to prove ourselves to God. We don't have to try to walk this line to make ourselves worthy before God, because we're not. His righteousness alone makes us worthy. His blood shed for us makes us worthy. And the prophet Isaiah gives a very powerful message of an open invitation to those who are hungry. And I see the church world and the spiritual world shifting so dramatically in this day and age. Shifting so dramatically. But there's only one, still one answer. And it may sound outdated, and it may sound old-fashioned, it may sound back in the day. But Jesus Christ is the only answer, period. In any generation, in any situation. The name of Jesus can break any addiction, it can break any stronghold, it can restore a relationship, it can break every demon in your life. It doesn't take a hyped up New Age message. It takes the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's not changed. We need an experience. People are wanting an experience. They're wanting to know that God is real and God's real for them. We can't go in the coattails of our former pastor or that great prophet of old or the great Billy Graham. We can't go off those coattails. We've got to have an experience for ourselves. We've got to have a breakthrough for our lives, because unless you've heard from God, it's hard to explain what that even is like. Until you have felt God touch you, it's hard to tell someone else what that's really like. It's like when I used to ask Mom, how I know when I fall in love? And she gives that great answer, you'll just know. That's not an answer, right? You'll just know. How do I know, Mom? You'll just know. You'll just know that's the one. How do you know that's the one? Well, she was right. I knew. When I met Melanie, I knew that was the one. But it's hard to explain that until you have that experience. And whenever people feel Jesus for themselves, they hear a word from God themselves, then there's breakthrough. Then there's healing. And God has no respect of persons. His invitation is open to all. No matter what you've done or where you've been or where you're at right now. I'm not a preacher that's so deceived to think the Sunday congregations, this holy, shadowless, full of light, no wrong kind of congregation. We all come in here with battle scars. We all come here with temptations. We all come in here battling a storm of some sort or a battle. And that's okay, because Jesus is here to help. You've checked in the ER this morning and the doctor's on call. He's here to give you whatever you need. And there is nothing my God can't do. Isaiah starts out in verse 1. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Everyone who thirsts, come. Because I've got what you need. And I'm not talking about religious motion. I'm not talking about going to church out of routine. Church, God wants to transform our lives to where we live and experience Him every day, not just on Sunday or Wednesday. We have an experience with Him that we wake up and we're changed because we woke up with Him. We go to bed changed because we're lying down with Him. Every day at work, we're changed because He's at work with us. Everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. You have no money, come, buy, and eat. The reason Isaiah used the analogy was he was trying to make a reference to the marketplace. Something that people would understand. Be like saying, go to the food line today between the hours of 10 and 2, bring no money, come get what you want, and go home. That's something we'd understand. And many of you be hitting the beer section. I know that. Many of you would understand that. He's saying, you know what? What I had to give you costs nothing to you. I freely will give you. Freely will give you what you desire. If you just come. If you just obey and hear my voice. And look, please get rid of this mentality. Pastor, I want to make things right in my life. I want to get back where I'm supposed to be, or I want to really surrender. But you don't understand. There's things I can't let go of. And until I do, I can't take hold of God. That's the opposite thinking. Take hold of God, and then those things He'll help you let go of. Trust me. When the Holy Spirit is working in your life, things change. I've shared many times my high school experience that it wasn't I was any better than any other kid in high school. I didn't go to parties. I didn't go to one party in high school. Didn't drink. Didn't go to the club. I didn't do those things. And you know why? Because the Holy Spirit inside of me was stronger than that which was outside trying to pull me in. Yeah, I was tempted. Especially all the hot girls kept trying to get me to go with them to clubs. I mean, of course it's hard to turn that down. I understand that. Hard. I'm like, you know, it's not who I am. Church, people are trying to live lives not really who they are. They're living a life of who they think they're supposed to be, but not who God called them to be. And until we let down the wall of guilt and shame and anger and rebellion, whatever the wall we have put up, until we let that wall down, God cannot come in. But when we surrender all, say, Lord, can you possibly take me in the mess that I'm in? He said, come to the waters. I know you're a mess. I formed you in your mother's womb. I knew your name before your parents named you. I knew your existence long before the doctor says you're having a boy or a girl. I already knew it. You're not here by accident. You're here by appointment. Life is on purpose. Life's not accidental. Your circumstance may be accidental, but the life itself is a purposeful manifestation of the hand of God. And every life has value in the eyes of God. Every life. We give up on other people because of the way they act. Thank God He don't. You may be here this morning and be a drug addict. You may be a drunk. You may be fighting demons of sexual immorality that you can't let go of. You may be a porn addict. Whatever you're facing today, whatever your issue is, in the waters is enough to set you free. In the waters of God, church, is enough for the shackles to fall and for your mind to be healed and your inner man to be restored to the place God has called you into, not the world. How dare the world and the enemy trespass against the temple of God. It's time to come back to the waters. And you don't need any money. Don't cost you anything. Just your surrenderance. Without money, without price. Next verse, Brennan. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why are you spending effort and time for something that doesn't satisfy? Because when we wake up the next morning without Christ, guess what? The problem's still there. You may can drown your sorrows away through drugs or alcohol or this lifestyle for a night. But the morning will surely come and the sun will surely rise and you will find yourself at the same place you were the night before you begin it all. It doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't fill you. There's still something else out there. You know why there's so much anger right now in our country? I mean, you've been watching the news, seeing these political rallies, these Trump supporters being stuff thrown at and cussed at and spit at. It's like a third world country. Are you kidding me? Just don't vote for them. That's all I say. Problem fixed. So don't vote for them. If that's your issue. But I'm sitting there thinking, this anger, this hate, this language out of people's mouths all the time is furying out because they are bankrupt of anything that really feels them. They're lost and they're empty. They feel hopeless. I think we all know it doesn't matter who is our president, that's not who our hope is in. Our hope is in the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. That's who our hope is in. But we have an angry, confused, and lost generation of people because we're not allowing the living water to flow through us. Because once we get a taste of that living water, our eyes are opened. We see things in a different way than we ever saw them before. I live in this world. I don't like how things are. I don't like having to pay taxes. I owe taxes again this year. I had to pay taxes on top of the ones I paid all year. I had to owe again this year. That stinks. And I hate it. And if the IRS was no more, hallelujah. But I can't change that. And I can't spend my time being mad about it. I just trust God. And I follow God. And I serve God. And I say, Lord, you take care of me. Take care of my family. Take care of my health, my finance, my mind. Protect my home. Protect my children. Seal them with your hand of protection. I got to trust that. Because the God I serve can do it. We spend our money on things that don't work. And then we, our wages, that doesn't satisfy. Listen carefully to me. Eat what is good. I've got something good to offer you. And what I give you will change your life. What I give you will satisfy you. For our young generation who's searching for acceptance so bad. Oh my God, I would hate to be going through this earth as a 16-year-old again. Hate to be going through the earth. Because I see the challenges they face. And on every corner, the devil's enticing them with this and with this. And the devil, see something about the devil, he makes things look really good. I use the example a lot. Watch football on Sundays, you're going to see a lot of beer commercials. They all look fun, don't they? They're all happy. They're having a good time. Yeah, everybody's good. All the girls are pretty and all the guys are good looking. Everything looks great. But what the commercial doesn't show is the other side of the coin of that. It doesn't show the broken homes, the abusive adults. It doesn't show the addiction that has someone so bound they can't function, can't work, can't hold a job, can't keep a marriage together, can't be a father. Their liver dies from the disease of alcohol consumption. Commercials don't show that. It just shows the good stuff. It just, you know, back in the old day, as a little kid, they used to have cigarette commercials. I remember the cigarette commercials. You had the cowboy on a horse riding with a cigarette in his mouth. I want to be that cowboy. He looked good, didn't he? Got that cowboy hat on that horse. He looked, his Wrangler jeans, a cigarette in his mouth. How many of you wish to God Almighty you never tried a cigarette? The commercial don't show you that. The commercial don't show you in stage 4 cancer. The commercial don't show you spending $200 a month on cigarettes. The commercial don't show all the damage it does to your body and the addiction and control that it has. See, the devil paints these pictures and draws us in And then we can smoke a pack an hour, it don't satisfy. We can drink a pint an hour, it don't satisfy. We can smoke up till we smoke a room up, it don't satisfy. We still have the same problem because all of us were created to have a relationship with our Savior. And when that relationship is not fulfilled, something is missing. And the world can't explain what that is, but something's missing. I hear it all the time. Something's just missing. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. Man, God is stirring the waters. He's calling your name and he's saying, will you come and get what I got for you? It changed your life. Let your soul delight itself in the fatness or in the abundance. Next scripture. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. We just sung that song, Glorious Day. That's the real future for us, church. This world and all the problems we have, it's going to all pass away one day. It's going to give way. Give way to our soul living forever. You may have problems on this earth. We're going to have problems, but it doesn't compare to the glory which shall be revealed in us because of what Jesus did. Hear, and your soul is going to live, and I will make an everlasting, I love this, an everlasting covenant with you. You know what this means? God don't leave us, and God don't forsake us. God's covenant is forever. We think our friends are forever. We find out pretty quick. Middle school, high school, you start losing those friends you thought would never leave your side. Adults, you lose friends, thought you'd never leave their side. But you have a friend that stands closer than a brother in Jesus, who never leaves your side, who is with you through every storm and through every battle and through every sin. And his eyes still look upon you with love because he loves you beyond measure. Next verse, Brandon. I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. See, as a Christian, I'm glorified already. It's not been manifested, but I'm already glorified. Y'all can't see that because I'm still in the flesh. But the Bible says those whom he called, he sanctified. Those he sanctified, he glorified. So I am glorified by the Holy Spirit. I'm his child, and the covenant God made with me cannot be broken. It's a covenant he made with me. I'm yours now, James, and you are mine. We tend to think that sin in our lives cost us our eternal relationship with God. But I want you to think about this. If that was the case, would anyone ever go to heaven? Ever? No. Our kids do stuff we don't like, but they still got our blood, and they're still our child, and we still love them. May not agree, but we love them. Don't think that your covenant's been broken because you've got a battle you can't seem to win. And don't let people put you in that box. There's many of us that have battles that we fought all of our lives. Paul said that. Remember, Paul prayed 3 times for God to remove whatever he was battling out of his life. And God didn't come in and wave it away. He gave him a word. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. You mean I'm stuck with this? Yep. You're stuck with it. But you know what? I'm going to get you through it every single day. Because my power is greater than your weakness. God's power, church, can set us free. And people put up such walls because, I don't know, they don't want to either let God down, which I heard one preacher say I thought was great, you're not holding God up. So you can't let God down. I mean, really think about that. I mean, really? Are we that arrogant to think we can let God down? I mean, my Lord. When God called me in 1980 at a tent revival, I was 9 years old. He called my name. I walked up to the front of that wooden altar they made for that tent. Gave my heart to the Lord. You don't think God knew all the stuff me and Bill would do wrong in high school? Of course he did. But yet he called my name. Yet he saved me. Now if God's intent was to let me go because I didn't do exactly right, why would he call me? The Bible says that all of those who he calls, I will lose none of them. None of them. And Jesus also says, I will in no wise cast out anyone who comes to me. My God, people will cast us out. Family will kick us out, but not God. God will take you as is with no warranty. You ever bought a car, no warranty? That's scary, isn't it? Makes you always think, no warranty? God gives us himself and calls us and doesn't require anything of us other than to surrender and to trust and to obey. Lord, by faith, I give you my life. Man, the blood is so powerful, church. The blood did what none of us could do. The Holy Spirit changes us. Look at verse 6. We've heard this verse our whole lives, and I'm going to explain what this means because this has kind of been through my circles of the years. I've heard this taught in a different way, but I'm going to teach you what it's talking about. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Now that's kind of been taught that, you know, we got to call on God before he comes back. We got to get God before the return. You know what the Bible is saying here? When the conviction is moving, step on it. When the Spirit's in place and he's calling your name, that's when you act, right then. If I stood up here and says the first one to run this altar will get $1,000 right now, there will be no hesitation in this room. No hesitation. Grandma would put her Holy Ghost dance on and beat all y'all up here. Woohoo! She'd be up here. So why do we put that wall up when the Holy Spirit gives the invitation? I've come to give you life. Will you receive what I have for you? Yes, Lord. Don't worry about failing God. I hear that mentality. I can't come, preacher, because I know I'm going to leave and do the same stupid stuff. You probably will. I've been married 24 years. I do the same stupid stuff as a husband. Think I learned, but I don't. When Melanie's mad and I still push her buttons, I should know better at 24 years than when she's mad, right? But no, what do? I push her buttons. Then I get her really mad. I get her dangerous mad. I get her, I'm scared going to go to my mama's house mad. I mean, why do I do that? The definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. If you're going to drink your life away or get high every day or live your life with the devil, don't expect a different result. But if you want something different, say, Lord, I surrender to you. Help me to be and live a different life. Help me. You'll have good days and you'll have bad days. I've heard some folks say, and I know Gail has through the years, that when you get saved, that if everything don't instantly change, that moment, you didn't really get it. How foolish that is. Sure, things can instantly change, and some people do get set free. I've seen folks where everything changed. But some folks, it don't happen quite that fast. But you start seeing fruit, and you start seeing things little by little as they evolve into their walk with God. As God dismisses things out of their lives and breaks things out of their lives. Don't expect to walk to this altar today necessarily and walk out with no more temptation and no more battles. That's going to continue to happen. But what you can walk out of here with today is the peace of God in your heart. To know, Lord, I am yours, and all the gates of hell can't stop what you have done in my life today. I'm yours. Call on him while he is near. As the Holy Spirit convicts, the Holy Spirit speaks, we need to respond to that. It's a precious thing to feel the conviction of God. And church, don't wait for the first person to walk up. I hear that story too. You're sitting there thinking, well, if just one person walks up, I'll go. Why? If I was offering $1,000, you wait on somebody else to walk up? I mean, man, God's offering everlasting life. God's offering no death, no pain, no sorrow. God's offering a living waters that will go with you all of your days. And no matter what you face here, man, you got something in the future that the devil can't stop. Why would you not accept that? Go to the next scripture. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great news? You go to court for something, and the judge says it's been dismissed, thrown out of court. You walk out dancing, hallelujah, been dismissed. No charges. God will abundantly pour his mercy upon your life, wipe away everything that was there, and give you a brand new mindset to know, I'm forgiven. The hardest thing to do, and I struggle with this as a young man. I know Bill probably did too, as a young man. We talked sometime through the years about this. The hardest thing for me as a young teenager and as a young adult was feeling forgiven. Because I would look at my life and feel so condemned and so ashamed and feel like I let God down over and over. And I would carry this kind of, you know, this condemnation around. The hardest thing to do is look in the mirror and say, God's forgiven you, and point to yourself, God's forgiven you. That's what the blood does. It forgives us. In church, there's no category of sins. That don't wash either. As Courtney said in her testimony a couple weeks ago, she said, you know, we all sin differently. You know, you may not be a cocaine user, but guess what? If you're a gossip mouth everywhere, you're spreading the same kind of poison. You may not be a drunk, but you may be a liar. May not be a liar, but you may be an adulterer. May not be an adulterer, but you may watch porn. You may not watch porn, but you may use some bad language. I mean, we all got issues that don't reflect the light of God in our lives. And we love to categorize those sins, but God came to forgive all of them. Forgive us. We got to look in the mirror and realize that God called us. And that as that cross stood 2,000 years ago, it stood for a purpose. Wasn't to make good religious songs or a good message on Easter. It was to let us know, I finished the work that you couldn't do. I stepped in, and where you couldn't keep the law, I fulfilled the law. And now my gift of grace is free. Free to all who would come. Why would anyone reject and turn down such good news? See, the devil fights that. Even now, the devil's fighting this morning. Fighting in your minds. Fighting, I don't want to give my heart to the Lord, or I don't want to make things right, or I like the way my life. Do you really like the way your life? Is your life going the way you want it to? Are you really happy? I mean, do you really have peace? We can have a good time, but a house or a car, which, by the way, the car was great. Got to drive Doc's Mustang this morning. It was absolutely incredible. And that gave me a lot of joy. Oh, my gosh, that thing was awesome. I'm glad there were no cops on Jennings Road this morning, because I was rolling. I mean, rolling. But anyway, and that gave me joy. But you know what? That joy's gone now, so I need to do it again to church. And see, that's how it is. You got to repeat your sins to keep the joy going. But with Christ, you're just settled. You're just satisfied. You know the old commercials, the Snickers commercials where they have all the actors? And they say, you're not yourself, eat a Snickers. And they change back into their self. That's how we are without Christ. Church, eat a Snickers. Okay? Accept the Lord and let him make you what you're supposed to be. I mean, man, you were called and destined for more than where you're at and what you're doing and how you're living. There's a greater purpose, and the devil is fighting that and fighting that and fighting that in you. but let it go and say, you know what, devil? You're not going to win this battle. I am the called of the Lord. As we read Wednesday night, Jesus says, I chose you. I ordained you from the foundations of the world. And if you're here this morning, it's because God has called you. Why else would you be in church? Because God's got something in here for you. Next verse, Brandon. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, are not my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. In other words, I've got something much greater planned for your life than what you're living. I've got something more in store than how you're responding. If you'll let me be God, there's more for you. There's something different I have. Trust me. We define success as the house we live in, the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the job we have. We define that. If any guy talk goes on, if you're around any, if a guy's in a group, and I'm guilty of it too, one of the first questions a guy's going to ask another guy is this. So what do you do? First question, isn't it, Bill? What do you do? Oh, okay. Why do we do that? It's a measuring stick. It's a measuring stick. Oh, okay. Okay, so you work at a... Okay, so you're a part-time bag boy. Okay, all right. What do you do? You're a CEO. Hey, buddy, what's up? Hey, you want to go fishing next week? See how that works? It's a measuring stick. And it shouldn't be that way. Success is not defined by what we do on the earth. The only true success we have is if we know Jesus. It's the only thing that matters. Because you can't take nothing with you. Houses, lands, people, nothing with you. When the trumpet sounds, our time comes, our breath leaves, it all stays behind. But what goes on is what we did here with Jesus. Yes, Lord, I want you and I need you. I'm tired of living the way I'm living. I'm so tired of being broken. I'm so tired of being bound. I'm so tired of struggling with battles I can't seem to overcome. God, I'm tired. I'm tired of the demons that are always whispering in my ear and reminding me of how captive they have me right now. God, I'm tired of that. And I want breakthrough. God, I'm ready for breakthrough. God's going to stir the waters today, church, for those of you that want it. Next verse. As the rain comes down, the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. You know what this means? It means when he called your name, it's not going to be void. The purpose he called us to be will be accomplished. Because there's nothing greater than the spoken word of God. And when God speaks it, when God proclaims it, when God says it, nothing can overturn it. Nothing. No weapon can overturn it. No demonic force can overturn it. When God called us, he called us with a purpose, and his word that went forth will fulfill the purpose of intention that it was meant to produce in our lives. You may have ran for years. Don't matter. If God calls you, you ain't getting away. Church, you're not getting away. You're sealed by his hand. You may be taking a long way around to get back to where God wants you, but you're still his. You may be going down a highway to hell, but you're his. Because that word has been declared. I know God called me in 1980. There's no doubt about that. God called me. I felt, I was young. I understand. For some of you say, well, preacher, you ain't been like me. You don't understand. You're not being an alcoholic. You're not being a drug addict. You've not done all this dark thing that you got to have forgiveness from or be delivered from. I know this, and I've not been there. Thank God. By his grace, I've not been there. Only by his grace. But I do know this. Even at 9 years old, when I did that, my heart changed. I had a different attitude, a different spirit in me. And there is no doubt, and Bill testified to this, that if I hadn't been saved, I'd have been a loose cannon probably as a teenager. I'd have been off the chain. It was God that kept me. I mean, I would have been, church, I would have been your best friend at a party and a parent's worst nightmare and a cop's worst friend. Because I'd have been breaking all the rules, more likely. All the rules. The wedding I did in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, I did a chicken dance on a dance floor. And everybody kept coming by, looking at my cup, seeing if I had alcohol in it. No, it's punch. I mean, you got to get drunk to have a good time, really? I can do it sober. You don't see me? Do it sober. I mean, goodness. And only the grace of God kept me. But I know my heart changed. And I know when God touches you, your heart changes. Your desires change. You want to serve Him. And what each of us need, again, is that personal experience in His presence. We need to spend a night with the King, as Esther did. Spend a night with the King and everything changes. We go into the chamber this way, and we come out of the chamber changed because we've been with the King. It will not return to me void, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing which I sent it. I sent forth my spirit into you for a reason. It's going to come forth in the way I intended it to in time. Maybe a long time, maybe a short time, but it's going to come forth in time. Hang on and don't give up. God's not left you. Next verse, Brandon. You shall go out with joy. Don't we need joy again? I would love to go to one of Donald Trump protests and go to the protest and say, guys, Jesus loves y'all. He loves Donald Trump. He loves Hillary Clinton. He loves Crazy Bernie. He loves all of them. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus is love and peace. And you're the generation that talks about that. Peace, dude, not war. Why, what are you doing? Really? I would love just to spread the love, the magic. Just, you know, love everybody, y'all. Love everybody. Everybody's so angry. Anger over what? How Donald Trump gonna change my life? I'm gonna go to work. I'm gonna preach. I'm gonna pay bills, drive my car, live my house, and pet my dog. He ain't gonna change nothing for me. I mean, really? My God. I want to have some joy again and be led out with peace. People are so tormented. The devil attacked me 3 nights ago in my sleep. Had a horrible night. I was just tormented all night long. And the enemy just tormented me all night long. Just tormenting me. I kept having these dreams and just the way I was feeling. And if anybody ever suffered from anxiety or panic attacks, you should make fun of that. That's a real thing. It's a very real thing. And I fought that all night long in bed. And Melanie, bless her heart, she fought it with me. I fought it all night long. And I knew it was the enemy trying to attack me to rob me of my peace. Without peace, we don't really have anything, do we? I mean, peace is everything. You know, if we got peace, church, we can be broken still happy. If we got peace, I may have two nickels to rub together. Praise God, I got peace. The car may be broke down. The dog may be walking on 3 legs. The wife may be yelling at me. The kid may be arrested. But you know what? Jesus, I have peace in you. And somehow that peace is, the Bible says, it's a peace that goes beyond our own understanding. We should be rattled, but we're not. We should be tormented, but we're not. Because we know who our King is. We know who's got us in His hands. You shall, the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap. Boy, isn't that powerful? All the fields shall clap for joy that the Lord of hosts is alive and well and living inside of us. You ever seen the movie Sound of Music? Anybody? Sound of Music, classic. I know you guys want to admit it. It's a great movie. Great movie. She sings that song. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Woo! Man, that's God. It's a great movie. Watch it sometime. Sound of Music. It's a classic. All of creation. You know, when you hear the birds chirp, hear them sing, I think about this. They are doing what the Word of God purposed them to do. As they're chirping in your yard, as the little squirrels are going up and down the trees, and all the creation we see around us, they are doing what God purposed them to accomplish. Man, if the bird can wake up singing, why can't we? Because we know who we're singing for, and we know who we're singing to. Thankful. One more verse. Verse 13. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. See, what God does is eternal. It's not a temporary fix. We can get a new job, get a new car, get a new house, get a new relationship. All that's exciting, but it all passes away. But what God establishes is everlasting. You can leave here today trusting and knowing that you are His. By faith, you are His. Need an experience. Jesus is calling you. But will we let Him in? Church, are we going to let God in to help mend and fix that which is broken? Or go keep kind of pushing them outside and saying, I want you, Lord, but not quite that much. Or I want you, Lord, but I'm not sure how much I want you. Man, the living waters, as He stirs the waters, can change your life. I want to go up to the altar this morning. I want to ask you to just listen to the Lord this morning. The Holy Spirit is moving upon you, convicting you. You're going through a battle this morning. You're going through a storm. You're going through guilt and shame you can't shake. You're a mess. You're just a mess today. And you don't see a way out. You don't see no hope. You don't see no direction. Your vision is impaired by your sin or by your circumstances, and you can't even see clearly anymore. God wants to do something in your life today. This is a church. This is a sanctuary. It's a house of God. It's not a place of entertainment. It's a place of breakthrough, a place of healing. I want to open this altar up today, and I want you to walk up here. We're going to pray. I want to pray a prayer with whoever's up here today that breakthrough will happen in your life. That you can leave here feeling different than you walked in. Leave here with a newfound hope, a newfound joy, and a newfound peace. Some of you are trying to run from your problem. I just felt that in the spirit to say this. Some of you are trying to run from your problem, and you can't run from it. The problem still want to be there. You got to surrender to God and give it up and let Him take the problem away. Sing a little something, Margie. The Lord is convicting you this morning, calling you. Walk up here. Stay up here, and we'll pray together before we leave this place today.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling for you and for me. See on the portal, He's watching and waiting for you and for me.
Thank you, Lord, for what you've done here today, for your presence being so alive. And we worship you in this place today.
Yeah.